Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
Socials. Check us out on YouTube or Twitter or Instagram, you know, every day, at least Monday through Friday, there is a video that goes up with what our social media team thinks is a important topic that one of the shows got to. We'll see how it goes today. I wonder if the video will catch me breathing and seeing me actually look at cold air coming out of my mouth. That's how cold it is in here. Like, will they be able to catch that on the cameras? Sometimes that's overstated, but when I touch, no one's been in here because John and Lance are out at Texas Card House on Westheimer. They also have a spring location as well. We'll give you some more information on that a little bit later. But I come in here, and I know it's cold because the equipment is cold to the touch. Like, this mic feels like a soda that's been in the refrigerator. That's how cold it is in here. I'm not sure what the deal is, but if my teeth chatter or you can actually see my breath as I talk on video a little bit later, that's the reason why. We'll see. We'll try to get through it, but welcome to the show. As I said, John Lance out at Texas Card House. A little bit later today, Paul Gallant, if he's healthy, if he can get out there, but the Killer Bees as well, will be out at McCormick & Schmick, that location. They have several locations, but they'll be out and about for our summer circuit. They're going to be at the Town & Country location today. And then, of course, we've got Friday, which is when we celebrate golf, because it's another major tournament. The Open Championship is going on, and we'll be out at East River 9 for that, the entire station. And I know the Open Championship is going on because I've already seen a golfer yell at the fans. We might play that sound later. I've tried to make it so you can actually hear it, but it's John Rahm yelling about some fan whistling during his backswing, which just leads me to my general commentary on golf. Is it a sport? Is it a sport if one of your best can be thrown off or at least upset about a whistle in his backswing? What are we doing? It's the one sport that silence is mandatory. I guess tennis does it too, but at least you can cheer at the end of a good rally. But with golf, it's like I gotta concentrate a lot. No, I don't have to worry about an actual opponent. It's me and my mind against the golf course. And if you dare to whistle, I'll call you out for it. So John Rahm has done that. I don't even know how he's doing in the tournament. But the Open Championship is going on. So we'll be out at East River 9 for that. Last night, without any sports, unless you're really locked in on the back end of Summer League, as even the Summer League's best players are no longer playing unless your team was qualified to the playoffs, you had the ESPYs. And I realize this, and I think I probably knew this, but it really came to the forefront for me listening afterwards to all the commentaries, that sports radio talk show hosts love a comedian. They love a comedian. Like, I've been a producer when comedians have been in, and they love to sports radio hosts love to laugh. It's like they become Swifties. Like, Swifties, we know, at least some of us know, very devoted to Taylor Swift. It's all how those hives go. Like, Beyonce fans love Beyonce. Go on. Barbs love Nicki Minaj, all that stuff. We got sports radio talk shows are like that when it comes to a comedian. I'm sure Shane Gillis was very funny. I just shrugged my shoulders. Eh, okay, cool, whatever. I'm sure he made people laugh. He made people feel awkward. But for the most part, it's real fanboy type stuff when one of their guys gets up. And I guess it makes sense. Most comedians are like in their 40s. And most radio talk show hosts are in their 40s or around there. And certainly they trend older as they continue with their careers. But I think there's some type of rapper basketball thing with comedians. Like, rappers want to be ballers, ballers want to be rappers. It's some of that going on with comedians and sports talk hosts. Because let it be known, if you make any jokes that make athletes uncomfortable, a sports talk radio host is probably going to applaud your performance. And from what I could tell, Shane Gillis got great rave reviews from most, unless you are in the realm of sports. That's where he got some pushback from some people. But hey, you make fun of people, that tends to happen. So that happened last night, the ESPYs. As far as award winners, I know that Simone Biles won, and I think that was the end of that for me. I don't know who won team. Was that Philly? Did Philly win the team of the year? Okay, the Eagles won team of the year. So that's as much as I took from it. And we are not even a couple days. We're one day away from the Astros being back. And there's an update on a couple of their guys, Arrigetti and Yordan. We didn't get good updates on those two. We're at a point with both where if they come back before the end of the season, then we should feel lucky. What felt like, at least we're positioned as short-term injuries, have become long-term. And now a real question as to their status for the regular season remains. And Chandler Rome, in his article in The Athletic, discussed, or at least talked about, that even if Yordan does come back, he likely won't be at full strength. So he'll be dealing with the hand injury in some way, shape, or form, no matter what date he's eligible to return. And Yordan's year has been one that didn't start off well because of just performance overall. And now we're deep into the summer, and he's still not a guy we can really depend on. And Arrigetti, look, you break something in your hand, we get it. It just feels like this is trending towards... Does he even come back at all? And at this point, with the Seattle series coming up, and certainly a big series, but you're five games up, so your eyes are looking towards what your playoff lineup and what your playoff rotation will be. And if you can't count on either one of those guys, then the dancing around maybe acquiring a left-handed bat maybe needs to become something that is more urgent as far as on the agenda for Dana Brown and the Astros. Because if they believe this team has enough, if they add a piece, then maybe it can't be something as small as like a Cedric Mullins acquisition. If Yordan isn't going to be a guy, maybe you need a real bat in this lineup. If Yordan can't be depended on, and that's going to cost. And are the Astros willing, considering what people think of their minor league system? The guys who they bring up have certainly outperformed expectations. Now, some of them are Sugarland Space Cowboys who are in their late 20s and upper 30s, but they have found a way to make do. If Yordan's not going to be around, then I don't know that a small upgrade with a left-handed bat is going to be enough. Maybe you need to expand who you can possibly acquire. And that was one of the things that was part of another Chandler Rome article discussing the storylines for the Astros. And certainly the health of Yordan and any added help to the lineup will be something we look at as we go forward and get ever closer to the trade deadline. So we'll go to break with that. AJ's here with me. He'll be here tomorrow as well. Sean's on vacation. Sean put something very funny in our group chat, because in our CFB 26 group chat. I guess he's spending time with his family, so now he's got to play his video game in front of his family, which I haven't done that since I was like 12, or a little bit older, but with my cousins. But as far as in my own home, I can't remember the last time I had commentary from my parents over a video game, which is what he had to deal with. I don't know the situation, because Sean's got his own place. He's spending time with his family. I guess he did it. He set up the PS5 on the main TV. I don't know what his old room is like. What situation that is. But if there's a TV in there, I think that would have been my choice. I don't know if I would have put the TV in the family room and had my dad over my shoulder and my younger brother over my shoulder, picking out plays that I should run. It's stressful. I don't need that. My family can be judgmental. I don't know if the Mapes family is judgmental, but family can be judgmental. And if you're throwing picks or missing open or missing open guys on routes, then maybe dad has something to say. So Sean got through it just barely. Sean will be back with us on Monday. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to get in, you can, 713-780-3776. When we get back, we'll touch on some college football news, because there is kind of a standard of can you win a national title, and it's based on your blue chip ratio. So while we had Keith call in about Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt maybe making the playoff, while that could happen, I don't think it will, while that could happen, the likelihood of Vanderbilt making the playoff and then winning the national title is zero. And we'll get into why when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So some of the timelines, we'll get to the college football thing here, but some of the timelines for Astros returning, Javier and Luis Garcia, they're, according to Dana Brown, probably a month away from coming back. And because Arrigetti hasn't even done a minor league rehab assignment, as far as that portion of his recovery, his return is going to be, if it happens, sometime in September. So Javier and Garcia, as far as injured Astro pitchers, you should expect them back. If anyone's going to come back, expect them back before Arrigetti, as they're further along in their rehab. Okay, so I mentioned there are components that put you in the category of winning a national title. Sometimes that's about coaching. That's about money spent on the program. But most importantly, it's about the type of talent you have on your roster. And this comes from Bud Elliott of CBS Sports. He used to be someone who covered Florida State exclusively. He's expanded and now does college football. He breaks down college football for CBS Sports as a podcast, just like a lot of people do. So it's called the blue chip ratio. It's pretty simple. If you don't have more than 50% blue chippers or 50% or more blue chippers on your roster, you can't win a national title. And by can, I mean no one's done it since recruiting really hit its boom as far as the news and people covering it. You need to be at about 50% or more to win. So the list is out. And this includes high school recruits. The transfer portal certainly has changed things. We saw a transfer quarterback who probably wasn't a blue chip recruit when he was in high school, like Will Howard. He won a national title at Ohio State. So certainly the transfer portal can affect your team in ways that may change their ability to win a national title if they're not really a recruiting power. But as far as the teams who do go on and win, at least as of now, they have been mostly full of high school recruits who have developed, and those recruits were blue chippers when they signed on to play at a particular school. So it's called the blue chip ratio. And at the moment, there are 18 college teams who can actually win the national title if you just go by history. Now, if you look at some of these teams on the list, you might not agree by what you saw last year, or you don't believe in the coach, but at least by those numbers, there are 18. Now, if you look at some of the history, Ohio State last year, their blue chip ratio was 90%. Just so happens that their quarterback was a transfer. Michigan, along with Michigan, Clemson, and Florida State in the years 2023, Michigan's title, Clemson, their first national title 2016, and Florida State's 2013, they had the lowest percentage. In fact, they're the only three teams that were in the 50% range to win a national title. So mostly we're talking about, if we know who's done it, the Alabamas of the world, the Ohio States, the LSUs, they've all been in the 60s or above, and Ohio State at 90% last year. So they're the most talented team in the country. At least a lot of people thought that going in, and despite their bobbles, particularly losing to Michigan again, they found a way once they made it into the playoffs to go out and win it. Their talent showed that. When it comes to a freshman like Jeremiah Smith, or even a transfer like Caleb Downs, who actually wouldn't even really count in these rankings. But we talk about blue chippers. Alabama loses a blue chipper to Ohio State, and he's the starting safety on a national title team. So, as I said, transfers can certainly affect it, but you certainly want very talented ones like Caleb Downs to enhance your roster. So, if we look at the teams right now, it's a lot of the teams you might expect. And a team like Florida State, who was bad last year, their blue chip ratio says, historically, they should be able to win one if things all come together. When Thomas Castellanos, your quarterback, and taunting Alabama before their game, maybe it's not going to go their way because that's a team who it feels like it's on the verge of maybe not getting Mike Norvell fired, but putting him on the hot seat even more than he already is after last year. That team's probably not winning a national title, but they fit the profile of a team who could win it. The team with the most likely chance this year are two, Alabama and Ohio State. Their blue chip ratio is about 89% for both. And if we go low, we go to teams in the state. A&M at 82% is the team with the highest blue chip ratio in the state, and Texas is at 78. So Texas, with Arch Manning, people believe are a real title favorite. A&M not so much. That would have to do with, well, historically, even just recent history of A&M not living up to their recruiting rankings as far as what happens production-wise on the field. We know last year they were 1-1 away from playing in the SEC title game. They just dropped the game to Texas. Texas went on to win that game and then get to the SEC title game. But A&M, we saw, even in Mike Elko's first year, despite switching quarterbacks and all that does to a season, was 1-1 away from at least getting a chance to compete for a spot in the playoff. Who knows what would have happened against Georgia if they got there. Can't say that Carson Beck gets hurt in that game against a different opponent, but Georgia wasn't a team that was great offensively, so maybe A&M would have had a shot to make the playoff and eventually potentially go play for a national title last year. So there are not really any outliers. Auburn is probably another one that you would say Auburn's not winning. They're at 64%. And then you start to look. It's just a who's who of college football. So if you pay attention to recruiting, the recruiting powers are right there. And at least historically, they're the only ones who can go out and win a national title. This isn't about making the playoff. SMU can make a playoff. That can happen. You can have a surprise team make a playoff. Hell, even when in the 14 playoff, Washington made a playoff. They're not a recruiting power. They made a national title game. So that was really testing the limits of this blue chip ratio, because Michigan was at 54% or so when they won it, and Washington wasn't going to be above the 50% mark, and they played for a national title. So they're outliers, but so far, I mean, hope your team really recruits. And if you're a team who isn't, or a fan of a team who isn't one who recruits the way these other teams do, hopefully they got big bags to throw around in the portal. Because that's what Tech's trying to do. They're trying to supercharge their way onto one of these lists to see if they can go compete. We talked about it yesterday. Tech is a top five spender in all of college football. It's one of those, which one of these names is not like the other? When we start to look at the list of teams who we expect to spend, and then we see Tech in there. That has started over the last couple of years. They're in it, and maybe they find a way to become one of these teams. But AJ's a Cougs fan. I don't want to say it'll never happen, because we've seen what they've done in basketball, and they were dead and buried until they hired Kelvin Sampson. So, sure, like this transformational coach can come in and certainly build a baseline where people are willing to invest, because the Cougs, early Kelvin Sampson, he built those teams to a level where they're competing for conference titles in the American and clearly having deep runs in the tournament, but they weren't recruiting at the level they are now, where we're talking about five-star recruits having possibly one of the best classes in the country. They're doing all that now. So it's not impossible, but it takes a lot. Kelvin Sampson got to Houston, what, 2014? Is that around there?
Something like that.
Yeah, so we're talking over a decade, and now you can look at the Houston Cougars and say they are a force in recruiting now. So it could happen in college football. Probably would take a shorter amount of time if they did hire one of those guys. Those guys just generally don't exist or aren't available. But you got to get your game up when it comes to recruiting. If you want any shot to win a national title, I mean, that can seem very obvious, but everyone has dreams of, hey, every 4 or 5 years, if we get the right team, maybe we got a shot. The numbers say no, you don't. Unless you start to recruit at a level that matches the teams who are always there. So if you're a fan of a team who isn't a power, the playoffs probably your ceiling at this point. Unless the model for college football changes, and it feels like we're just leaning more into money determining who has the best rosters, and that's why some of some college coaches want out because they don't like the way the game is going. But hey, this is what we deal with until things actually change. And expect, I guess, Alabama or Ohio State, at least they should be the favorites best based on how they've recruited. You can get into how big of a downgrade Kalen DeBoer is to Nick Saban and all those other things, because we had Keith call in, as I mentioned him earlier, say Kalen DeBoer is on the hot seat. I don't think he's on the hot seat, but don't go losing to Vanderbilt at home. Don't do that. Then you'll really have problems. Alabama's got to find a quarterback though. That has been a cause for concern. Jalen Milroe was fine, but you know, he didn't play up to the level they needed for him last year, and they've got a couple young guys without a lot of experience that they're going to be leaning on this year, and hopefully one of them takes charge, so they can compete at a level they think they should be. I don't mind if Alabama takes a couple steps back. I don't like the Alabama Georgia thing that felt like it was going on, that was about to be the basis of college football, like Kirby versus Saban for the next however many years. Saban departing, probably better for the sport when it comes to dispersing not just talent but titles, because it did feel like we were getting to a point where if it wasn't Georgia, it was going to be Alabama and then maybe throw in Ohio State. Now I think it's kind of more open. Along with NIL, it helps disperse the talent, which means other teams have a shot to really get in there and see if they can go win one. And we'll see in the second year of the 12-team playoff, and maybe the last year of the 12-team playoff, because there is some real consideration to make it a 16-team field. And the SEC coaches are in favor of a 5-11 model, which just means you get 5 automatic bids, but they don't give you buys. You don't get buys. You just get the 5 bids, and then the next 11 just go to the 11 best teams that aren't automatic qualifiers. And they think because they play in the conference they play in, that they're going to have quite a few of those. The administrators, on the other hand, want a different model, but the coaches, at least that's what they're pushing for. But we may be done with 12 after 2025, 26, and then we'll see what college football has in store. They have not come to an agreement, by the way, on the future playoff setup. They've had conversations throughout the summer. Those have been pushed back because no one can agree on anything in college football, let alone how to disperse money when it comes to getting bids into the field. So where we stand is 12 for one more year, maybe, and then we'll see where we go after that. Okay, we'll go to break. With that, I was looking at the list before we went, and I'm looking at the list, and just by the coaches on the list, I'm like 6 of these teams ain't got no shot. Like this show has a long standing one-sided feud with James Franklin. Throw Mario Cristobal in there. Hugh Freeze, not a chance at Auburn. Lincoln Riley at USC, nah, not happening. That's at least 4, I think. And I could probably, Mike Norvell, 5. That's at least 5 teams on the list who ain't winning a national title if I simply go by my trust in their coach. All right, now we'll go to break. But before we do that, I'm going to talk to you about Monument Chevrolet. It's a place you go to where you know you can trust someone. They're the great people over at Monument Chevrolet. They've got great vehicles and great people, and that all comes together to get you into the best car possible. So if you want like a Blazer, a Silverado, a Trax, you can check out all the inventory at monumentchevrolet.com. And maybe you want an EV. They have great EV electric vehicles there as well. And they're doing something pretty cool right now. And we had like a discussion, Jeremy and I, who speak for Monument Chevrolet, we had a discussion with the guys over there, and they have a Carvo of the Week thing going on right now. So every week they're going to highlight a car, and they're going to give you a pretty good deal on that car, and you can check out what they have to offer this week right now on the site. So the car of the week right now is that aforementioned Silverado. You get 0% APR for in 2025 for 36 months on that Silverado. They got the classic Silverado 1500, and it speaks for itself. It's a great vehicle, and you can check out that vehicle in person in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 in 225. So whether you need a new car like the 2025 Silverado, or you want a pre-owned vehicle, they have a wide selection. There's all there for you on the lot at Monument Chevrolet in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 in 225. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
If you're a poker player and you happen to be listening to the Don Land Show, you know they're out at Texas Card House. Well, today you got a chance to take advantage of their Hijack Poker, which is going on from 2 to 8 at the Spring location this afternoon. They got some exciting in-person only promotions, so you can take advantage of that as well. Plus, they have a great game this evening at 6. It's $40 buy-in with a $4,000 guaranteed payout. So you can get to Texas Card House in Spring today. It's on I-45 North at Spring Cypress, texascardhouse.com. So, yeah, we are at the Westheimer location, but they got something pretty cool going on at the Spring location today from 2 to 8. So if you want to check out Hijack Poker at Texas Card House in Spring, you can do that today, a little bit later today. Okay. So there's a thing going on in the NFL, which you might be affected by if you're locked in on what your favorite team is doing, because second-round picks aren't signed. We did have one get signed, the third of 32 overall, Alfred Collins, was signed by the 49ers. So the speculation is that will start kind of a domino effect. And really, this is simply about percentage of guaranteed money. He did not get fully guaranteed. That phrase keeps getting thrown out in relation to Jaden Higgins and the Texans and what the Texans may have done to mess with the market. And apparently a lot of NFL teams just thought the Texans were lazy. They just gave it up for whatever reason and didn't really negotiate in a proper way. Look, Texans can operate however they want, and it did lead to players not kind of doing the status quo. Now, Alfred Collins did get about 10% more than last year's 43rd overall pick, but he is the first since kind of this impasse to finally decide, I'm good here. So you get 10% more than last year's. It seems like a good compromise. We'll see if that just starts everyone deciding and what that means for Ronte Arcery, as he is still holding out. So, you know, I respect it. If you see a precedent set, you're going to try to go get yours. And it's just up to the negotiators in question to see how much you can pry out of the team. Look, the 49ers are probably sick of contract negotiations. It usually has to deal with their big names. Like Brock Purdy just got his deal. We talked, I think, earlier this week about Juwan Jennings wanting his money. Of course, they've paid up to George Kittle. They've given money to McCaffrey. I'm sure they just love a quiet offseason, but the Texans are like, nah, let's add a little bit more stress to your situation, John Lynch. But he did get a deal done. We'll see who's up next. I was thinking about that 49er team, and they got one more year, right? This has to be it. They gave Brock Purdy money, which is going to affect contracts going forward and who they can pay. But once you decide we're in on this guy, then you start to see the talent drainage. Like, they got rid of Debo for multiple reasons. Didn't think he was worth what they had to pay him. And I'm sure Debo re-up would have come pretty soon if he had a big year. So he's in Washington, and we'll get into the Washington Commanders because they made a signing. And the signing they made, he's like the human. He's the human embodiment of this team thinks they're close. We'll talk about that in a little bit because he got signed by the Rams. They win a Super Bowl. He got signed by the Bills, and they've always, the last couple of years, they thought they've been close. So this guy signs the Commanders because if we didn't think they thought they were good before, we do know now, and I'll get to that in a little bit. But since we're sticking with the NFC, I think that 49ers team is on its last legs. I don't think Kyle Shanahan will get fired, but they're prime for a revamping. Like McCaffrey, love him as a a cornerstone for your team, and he's been pretty healthy. Like he has a reputation of not being available. That kind of ended when he got to San Francisco. He's had issues, but I think he has two relatively available seasons, which that had not been the case in the back end of his Panthers career. So they have him, Brandon Ayuk. I think they just gave Fred Warner money this offseason. But I would bet they may go to more of a stars and scrub model, because if you're paying Brock Purdy what you're paying Christian Kraftry what you're paying him, and then, of course, Fred Warner, the leader of your defense.
Brandon Ayuk, too.
Brandon Ayuk. How many guys, like the middle of that roster, how many guys can you really keep around to sustain the level of talent that you had? So I think that's a team, because of the decisions they made, unless they start to jettison some of those guys, we're going to see a real difference between the top of the roster and the middle of the roster. So I kind of think if they don't get it done this year, they had the fall off last year, partly due to injury. I think that 49ers team, Kyle Shanahan, even though he's a really good coach, that might be a team who takes a couple steps back, and then the pressure really mounts on Brock Purdy. Because I say that because if Brock Purdy isn't playing to the level of that contract, considering the talent that's going to depart, then he's going to feel the pressure. That organization will feel the pressure for making the wrong decision. And also, they're just not going to win as many games if he's not as good as that contract dictates. So I'd say, Julian, the 49er fan, you got one more year, buddy. One more year of thinking you've got a real shot to win a Super Bowl, because after this, I think you're about done. But a team on the rise, and they've made decisions this offseason to suggest they believe they're close, are the Commanders. They signed, or at least they traded for Laremy Tunsil. They brought in Deebo Samuel, and they signed Von Miller. He is the human that's the personification of we think we can win a title. When he got signed by the Bills, the Bills fans thought, all right, we got a guy who can get after Josh Allen that'll help with along Gregory Rousseau. We got a pass rusher. We're good. Of course, Von Miller's been unavailable. He's had some legal issues, and that has not worked out for him. He has not been as impactful as they wanted. So the Commanders will try their shot. He is like Jadeveon Clowney was like the great value version of Von Miller, because teams tried this with Jadeveon Clowney. Remember, he was obviously a Texan. He wound up being a Seahawk. When the Browns thought they were pretty good, they brought him in, and the Ravens did the same thing. So Von Miller at least has delivered on a title. Now, of course, he had Aaron Donald on that defensive line, and of course, Matthew Stafford on the other side. But at least when he won one in Denver and the Rams were looking across the landscape of an available player that they thought that could help them win, Von Miller actually worked out for him. Since that point, since 2021, I think his 1 year with the Rams, he's been kind of a non-factor in football. But the Commanders are going to try the thing that the Bills tried. You see it all the time, where this big name who was productive what feels like a long time ago, about a half decade ago for Von Miller, still gets an opportunity to play on good teams, because he'll come in for 1 year, he'll play in pass rushing situations, and they'll see if they can ride, I guess, long since seen talent to a Super Bowl win. And so the Commanders are about that life, and I don't want to compare it directly to the Rockets, but Von Miller is probably going to be less productive than Kevin Durant, but it's very similar to what the Rockets did. Like we feel like we're set, and of course, in the Commanders' case, they didn't really have to give up anything for Von Miller outside of maybe a little bit of cap space. Of course, they did make the trade for Laremy Tunsil, but these are the moves you make when you think we need to give our young talent a little bit of a boost. And really, the young talent in the Commanders' case is, they have Jane Daniels. That's the version of the Rockets having Amen and Shingun. They got a quarterback who was really, really good as a rookie. And the Texans did something very similar. So it's not unique to the Commanders. The Texans were like, hey, our rookie quarterback did great. Let's add it because we think we're pretty close. Didn't work out for them because they had a fatal flaw in their offensive line, which still remains the case. I think we'll talk about what Jake Andrews said, who appears to be in line to be their starting center. But you always start to look, okay, the Commanders have done that thing. And now we'll see if it plays out. Has not worked out for the Bills. We'll see if the Commanders, along with Von Miller and Laremy Tunsil, can go from surprise to a real contender in the NFC and for the Super Bowl. I kind of have my doubts. They did lose Jonathan Allen, so that hurts them on that defensive front. So they had to get reinforcements. So they went with the how many snaps per game is Von Miller going to get? Is he going to play 30% of the snaps, just be in pass rushing situations? And what is he, like 36 years old now?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And also, last year, their defense in the run game, they ranked 30th against run defense.
That's a real note from a Cowboy fan.
Yeah,
like,
I mean.
Like, hey, yeah, I know, I get it. You look it up and go, look, Commanders. Okay, people are talking about you a lot, but I see the flaw. So, yeah, maybe their run defense will be their flaw this upcoming season. Have they done enough to fix it, particularly when you lose a Jonathan Allen?
They need to sign Terry McLaurin. So.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit yesterday. While they have done things to bring in talent, one of their core members is still waiting on a deal. And now the Bengals are a good test case, because they did this with their receivers last year. Now those guys got in, but that team wasn't ready to go early, and they had a suspect defense, and their offense wasn't at a point early on where they could kind of carry the team until the defense maybe came along. The defense never came along. They fired Lou Anarumo and hired Al Golden, the former he was last year, at least the Notre Dame DC. Now he's the Bengals DC. So these holdouts, wow, you think, oh, he's a receiver, he'll come in, and once he's in, things will be cool. What if he's not there for training camp? What if he misses a week? Who knows?
You know, I wouldn't mind Debo Samuel being there, the wide receiver number one.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. If he's more than an end around guy, or a guy they want to throw quick screens to, if he has to expand his route tree because he's their number one, pack up the Commanders pretty quickly, at least early in the year. Like you want to put him in Cliff Kingsbury's offense and catch the bubbles and the jailbreak screens, whatever. Okay, that's cool. But if anyone expects Debo. I don't care how many workout videos you've seen this offseason. Anyone expects that guy to be the lead of a wide receiver core? You should have paid attention to how the 49ers treated him at the very end. That's not in his bag anymore, if it ever was. He was always he was at his best when he was playing running back and receiver. He was never a great pure receiver. So he is not – I don't even think he's a real number two at this point. Think if you want to call him a gadget guy, fine. You end arounds, screens, maybe you'll catch a slant and break a tackle because the safety doesn't want to tackle you. But other than that, yeah, you better get Terry McLaurin back in the camp. And that means paying him like $30 million a year. And the Garrett Wilson deal didn't help the Commanders, by the way. McLaurin's like, wait a minute. I'm better than him. Why am I going to get paid less than him? So let's get a deal done. Like, particularly for a guy who, from all accounts, has been great for them as a in the locker room, off the field, and has suffered through some bad quarterback play, and has stuck it out. He wants to get paid, and we'll see if the Commanders come through. They should, if they really believe that they got a chance to win a Super Bowl this year. I kind of have my doubts on that, but hey, hope springs eternal at this time of the year. So go pay Terry McLaurin. To not make the starter training camp messy. We'll see if they do that. All right, we'll go to break with that. If you want to call in, certainly you can join us. 713-780-3776 is the number. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When we saw Hunter Brown pitch Sunday, I believe the assumption was he was going to be available for the weekend series against the Mariners. Well, the Astros have said, we appreciate your thoughts, but that's not going to happen. So Hunter Brown won't be pitching against the Mariners. Your rotation for the three-game series is Brandon Walter on Friday, Lance McCullers on Saturday, and Fromber. You'll get Fromber on Sunday. Hopefully that you're going for a series win or maybe a series sweep, but we're not going to see Hunter Brown. So nothing beyond these three games. I don't know when Hunter Brown will pitch again. If you're following one of the Astros accounts, McTaggart, Chandler Rome, all the guys who cover the team have that out there for you. But it's a big start for Brandon Walter. The Astros haven't played very, very, very well. At least they didn't play very well going into the All-Star break. And you got a Mariners team who is going to look at this series as an opportunity to really get back in the race. It's a 9-10 start on Friday for us. We're going to need Brandon Walter to show up, because then you got Lance McCullers in the middle, and that's touch and go. You never really know what you're going to get. So it's as pivotal of a start for Brandon Walters, I guess, maybe ever. I can't think of another time that Brandon Walter in his career would have had a bigger moment. And it just speaks to his inexperience. I mean, it's July 18th during the middle of a pennant race when you're five games up, and I'm putting some importance on his start. It's one of those guys who hasn't accomplished that much on the major league level, and he's one of the guys the Astros have had to depend on, and he's been more than okay. We're just going to need him to get it done against the Mariners tomorrow. Because you look at their schedule coming out of the break. You've got the Mariners for three, then you got the D-backs on the road for three as well, and then you come home for the Athletics and the Nationals, and then that's how you close out the month of July. So as far as competition, the Mariners are most important, and then you start to look at the rest of the way. It's not tough, at least the rest of the month of July. So you want to start off well, and that'll be up to the lineup and Brandon Walter, and a lineup that will likely be very similar to the one we were kind of laughing at least the back half of the lineup that went into the All-Star break. So it's going to be on the pitching, it feels like, in this series, and at least you've got Fromber on Sunday. So whether you're up in the series, down in the series, or going for a sweep, you feel like you have at least a big-time pitcher to get you right to close out the series. So we'll see how the series against the Mariners plays out. Haven't seen the Mariners starters anywhere and what they're going with, but right now, Walter, McCullers, and Fromber to get us started for the back half of the season. Okay, we'll go to break with that. We'll close out the 10 o'clock hour, the first hour of this show. Haven't heard from Raheel, which is he's much like Lance McCullers. You just never know. Sometimes he'll text me and say, hey, I'm ready to go. Sometimes he's busy. So we'll see if Raheel gets in touch before 11:15. Have my doubts. So maybe we'll talk to Raheel next week. All right, we'll wrap up hour one with that, and we'll be back.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.